أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. It's an honor and privilege to be here again in Chicago for this blessed program that the good brothers and sisters in the Muslim group of USA and Canada have put together, and inshallah they have the tawfiq to continue this and to improve on it annually, inshallah. Seeing all of what has happened over the course of these couple of years, especially with regards to the Holy Prophet, with regards to Islam, the depiction of the religion, the depiction of the Holy Prophet, the way he has been introduced by certain people, certain media, we find it increasingly more important to study the legacy that our Prophet left behind, to study Islam from its original sources, especially as Muslims, for ourselves, for our own better understanding, as well as a means of us being more capable to show the real image of Islam and present Islam as it is to those who are increasingly thirsty to hear and to know about this religion. There are more and more people that are becoming more interested in learning about the religion, and it's important that we, for our own good, for our own benefit, for our own conduct, for our own self-development and the development of our communities, as well as presenting it to others, we have a better understanding of the religion. We have a better understanding of Islam. The topic of marriage is, as the brother introduced, Brother Ali, is a concept that we think, at least, we are somewhat familiar with. And I think pretty much all people think that they are very familiar with the concept. But the issue is that society is evolving. It has evolved in many ways. The culture of the Muslims has evolved. The understanding of Muslims has evolved with regards to marriage. The understanding of the society that we live in with regards to marriage has changed drastically. I was reading an article this morning before this speech from the New York Times with regards to marriage, and it was a pretty long article. Of course, it wasn't a recent one, but discussing how the family has been evolving and what it has become more recently, and how different it is as compared to what it used to be. The traditional family and what you have today being considered the family, the formation of which, well, is traditionally supposed to be through marriage, but now even the formation of it is not dependent upon marriage alone. So it becomes important for us to discuss this matter, again, for our understanding and for us being more able and capable to give that information, a proper understanding of this concept to others. So one point that I'm happy why we're discussing this is for our community development, the development of our communities in the West, here in the United States of America. The progress of it depends on healthy families. The creation of new cells within the body of our communities needs to grow. We need to flourish. That growth is dependent on, just like our physical bodies require the creation of new cells in order for us to grow, to progress, the body of our community is also dependent upon the formation of new cells, and the new cells within the community of believers are families. And marriage is very much relevant to that. That's how we initiate the process of having a family. That's the bond that brings the family together. And also, the second reason why I think it's really important is because this concept has evolved. The definition of the word marriage has changed. And before we know it, we can find ourselves, our next generation, or even the current generation, we can find ourselves questioning our previous generation's understanding of the concept of marriage, because we live at a time in an environment that these definitions have evolved. So we need to discuss this for those two reasons, or I'm happy why we're discussing this for these two reasons, and there are plenty of other reasons probably that we could discuss this. So what I'm going to be talking about here is going to be with regards to the definition of Islam regarding marriage, and some of the important teachings that Islam gives us with regards to marriage that are going to be helping us in one of these two ways, or for both of them. The first point is to understand, as the title says, marriage is a prophetic institution. What is meant by that is that this institution, marriage, was introduced by prophets. And we all know that the first prophet on the face of the earth is our forefather, Adam, ala nabina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. With the hubut, the descending of Adam and Hawa from the realm that they were in to earth, that point when mankind was placed on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced the institution of marriage, both existentially and legally. What do we mean by that? Existentially, marriage was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and legally it was legislated, as they use the word as the equivalent of tashri'. There's a sharia, a law that was introduced by God with regards to marriage. Let me read you the verse, or the couple of verses that I think are relevant to this discussion. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Rum, the 30th chapter of the Holy Quran, verse number 21, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. A verse that inshallah you have read and perhaps heard a number of times. One of the ayat, one of the signs of the divine, as the translation reads, and one of his signs is that he created mates for you. This is Yusuf Ali's translation. From yourselves that you may find rest in them, and he put between you love and compassion. Most surely there are signs in this for a people who reflect. So he says, خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. The word that was used in English as the English equivalent of zawj or azwaj is mate here. That's one equivalent that can be used in some cases, because zawj in Arabic can be used in different contexts. Sometimes the meaning of the word, which I want to use this word, is a pair of, for example, shoes, a pair of pants, okay? Pairs, that's important. I'm going to deal with that later on, inshallah. But what I'm trying to extract from it right now, God says, خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. This concept of pairing up, forming families, becoming azwaj, becoming a zawj and a zawja, a husband and a wife, is within our existence, within our creation. Another verse, chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 1. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان بكم كان عليكم رقيبا. There are many things that can be said about this verse. There are many important teachings that we would find in this verse. And by referring to our scholars, like Allama Tabatabai and others, we would be able to learn some of those. What I'm trying to extract from this is this. God says, fear, I'll read the translation, O people, be careful of, or fear, your duty to your Lord, who created you from a single being. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ and created its mate of the same kind. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. So that initial creation of mankind, Adam, then Eve, and then it says, well, again, the word zawj is used here, and we'll get to that, inshallah, a little later. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Through that, the formation of that first family, the first husband and wife, Adam and Eve, we created all the rest of humanity. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Existentially, he created this, meaning it's within us. The attraction, now verse going back to the first verse that we recited, verse 21 of Surah Ar-Rum. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allama Tabatabai explains that the reason why you have sukuna, you have calm, you have tranquility when the two genders come together within the institution of marriage, is because both of these pairs, these mates, the two genders, are incomplete. And they are in need of the other half in order to become complete. And once that completion occurs, then the state of heart and mind, the soul of each of those mates, reaches a point of tranquility, as opposed to not having that half and feeling uncalm and stressful and so on and so forth. So in our very existence, in our very creation, this idea of coming together, members of the two gender, being created with this, is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And also it is a law that has been introduced. From day one, there was the matter of marriage. And we have a hadith with regards to this as well. The marriage of Adam and Eve and how that took place, and then the marriage of the children of the two, how that occurred. Now, before I get to defining marriage and what is relevant with regards to that and important for us to understand in that regard, I want to mention and highlight some of the interesting and important teachings that Islam has that are very practical, but we've got to fix up our understanding regarding these concepts. In other words, if we want to behave properly, if we want to have the right conduct, if we want to be guided, we need to first understand what that guidance is. Some of the highlights of what we have with regards to marriage in the Holy Quran and in the Ahadith, I'm focusing on the Quran, so there's no doubt with regards to the authenticity of the source. This is the Quran. It's divine words. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say when Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, when he became the Imam, in other words, when Imam Al-Baqir was martyred, the companions of Imam Al-Baqir came to Imam As-Sadiq and said, your father was so great. When he said, the Holy Prophet said something, no one questioned whether that's authentic or not. Everyone believed what he says is true. At that point, in order to show this individual that that wasn't a feature that was limited to Imam Al-Baqir, it's a matter of imamah, and to show how the words of this imam cannot be doubted, Imam As-Sadiq began by saying, قَالَ اللَّهَ, and he quoted the Holy Qur'an. The Holy Qur'an is the most authentic piece of writing that we have, the most authentic source that we have of Islam. And so this cannot be questioned. So that's why I'm using it to go over some of these teachings. The first is the importance of marriage itself and pushing us away from remaining single. This is a teaching that we have in the Holy Quran itself. The idea of, well, I don't know, do I want to get married, do I not want to get married, I have issues with marriage, this, that, the other. When I get married, all of that, this type of approach towards marriage is not what we find in the Holy Quran, it's not what we find in our teachings from the Ahadith. In the verses of the Holy Quran, what we have, one of the verses is, recite salawat please. Surat An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, verse 32. God says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Again, I'll read from the translation instead of trying to translate it myself. And marry those among you who are single. It's an order, it's a command. And it's interesting how it says, وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. It doesn't say, oh, أَيَامَ, which أَيَامَ means single people. It doesn't address the single people and say, get married. It addresses all of us and says, it says, get the single from amongst you married. So that means if I'm already done with that for myself, if I've already gotten married, I'm not done with the concept of marriage. Not that we are encouraging second marriage, brothers. What we are encouraging is that you would want to help others get married. Okay? We have got to, as a community, and by the way, I'm not discouraging that either. Okay? If Islam says it, then Islam says it. I know I'm opening up a can of worms with that, but that's fine. Because if Islam says it, I have no right to say otherwise. But that's not what I'm saying right now. What we are saying right now is we've got to get involved in our communities in trying to get the single from amongst us married. It shouldn't be thought that, well, this has nothing to do with me. They can go and get married. I'll just have a word with them. No, we have plenty of encouragement. This is only one verse. If we want to bring together all of the ahadith that are relevant to this, all of the encouragements, of the rewards of the person who introduces two individuals to one another, the one who provides the mahr, the one who provides the expenses for marriage for two other individuals that have nothing to do with him or her. If we want to get the pool of ahadith together with regards to that concept, we will have a collection of perhaps over 100 hadith that we'd have to bring together with regards to this concept. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ Remaining single, although in rare cases we have had that, like in the story of Maryam alayha salam, and in some of the figures that we have within Islam, like the lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullah alayha, buried in Qum. But that is rare. That's an exception. The rule isn't that. The rule is to get married. So there's a lot of emphasis on getting married. That's the first point. And as I said, the emphasis is there not just for those who are single to get married, but for the rest of the community members to make sure they help single people out for them to get married. Let me emphasize this point a little bit. There's a reason why I'm selecting these topics from within our Islamic teachings, from the verses of the Holy Quran. It is because we are in a society that has moved away from this concept. Marriage, even the traditional sense of it, without changing the definition of it, which I'll get to, is not something that people are encouraged to do. At all. There's no encouragement whatsoever. And so although a person might get married some point in their lifetime, and it doesn't last for very long in many cases, in most cases according to statistics, that person is not going to be looking to get married necessarily. That's not what they're looking towards. So it's not a value to be married. So the first point that we are making is that according to Islam, it's actually very, very important that single people do not remain single and they get married. That is number one. The second point that I'm going to extract from this very same verse is that this marriage is encouraged at an early age. Right? It is encouraged at an early age. I'm not going to go over some of the ahadith that we have in this regard intentionally. All right? I want to come down from this podium and not have to deal with a flood of questions and comments. I'm not going to bring, because we have a certain capacity, right? We all understand this, right? We can't take certain hadith. We can't even take certain verses of the Holy Quran. And just one liner here about this. We have hadith from the Holy Prophet, from the Imams, telling us, look, if you receive a hadith that you can't make sense of, don't reject it because you can't make sense of it. الدين لا تصاب بالعقول. This is the meaning of this hadith. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about religion. It means that if I have a shortcoming in understanding something, that's not a reason to say that's wrong. All right. So I'm not going to get into the hadith about the age and what exactly is said in hadith with regards to that. I'm just going to use this one verse. It says, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ Single people. Technically, a two-year-old baby is single as well. Right? They're not married. Of course, again, in our fiqh, you have that concept. I don't want to get into that either. But technically, a two-year-old baby is not married. So if this verse is saying, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ What is the verse referring to? Is it referring to us as a community trying to get our children ages 2 and 3 married? Well, it's not that early. But as early as a person reaches adulthood, they reach or they come of age. As soon as a brother or a sister comes of age, they are technically single, meaning they're someone who's not married, but is at an age that they could be married and they should be married. There's no restrictions or there's no qualifiers here in this verse that say what we mean by ayama are people that are in their mid-20s, mid-30s, people who have established themselves financially, people who've gone through their education, people who've finished their master's and PhDs and post-doctorate and what have you, people who have cars, this and that. It says, al-ayama, whoever is considered al-ayama, whoever is single, as I said, it doesn't refer to children, but anyone who comes of age who's not married, that person would be referred to technically as single. So we can take and extract from this verse that Islam encourages marriage at a very early age that we can't even imagine, right? When does a brother come of age? The latest is 15. The latest a brother can come of age is 15. And sometimes brothers can come of age earlier. Sisters come of age according to our legal system at the age of 9. That's the common view. There are a couple other views as well. Some say 12, 11, 13. And other criteria as well, but around that age. So, technically that's what it's saying. We can't even imagine that. And I'm not necessarily encouraging us to have our 15-year-olds married at that age. But what I am saying is, let's recognize that Islam encourages this. This is the Islamic ideal. If I am not, because of the circumstances that we are in today, unfortunately, if these ages of 15, 16, and 17 are scary to us to have our children married, let's not go for ages of 26, 28, 30, and above. No, we should try to lower the age, not push it back. That's what Islam encourages. And if we are following our Prophet and following the Holy Quran, as God says, this nur that God has revealed upon the heart of the Prophet, if we want to follow that, then this is the direction that it is giving us. So, the second point with regards to marriage is that Islam encourages early marriage. And as I said, the same command, it's a command, it's an order, أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. Third, recite a salawat, please. Islam tells us very clearly, again, not in hadith that you might ask me, can you provide a sanad, please? Whatever that means. Okay. It's the Quran. The Quran very clearly suggests that you should not be considering finances a reason to postpone marriage. That is not going to be a valid and legitimate reason. And anything that is relevant to that, this is a culture that's developed. In the global culture that has developed and is developing, what I mean by global culture is the culture that we are seeing throughout the globe. This is not limited to us living here in the West. People in the East, unfortunately, have developed this culture and they have moved away from the Islamic culture. The financial status of a brother who is supposed to be still, it's part of our culture, this hasn't changed too drastically yet. The man is the one that is supposed to be providing for the family. He's got to be financially stable, which means he needs to have earned a degree, he needs to have started his work, and he needs to have started on a mortgage regarding a house and a couple of cars perhaps. That's when we consider them to be ready. And there's various sayings that are said, and I've come across plenty of people that their parents, when they approach them to speak to them about marriage, the parents shun them away and say that, well, in Farsi they say, the parents would say, your mouth still smells like milk. In other words, you're a baby still. That's not what Islam says. The verse that I read is very clear on this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I'll read it again. وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they are fuqara, alhamdulillah, I don't think any of these brothers and sisters that are trying to get married, they're fuqara. Okay. The verse says, if they're fuqara, if someone comes and asks you, and again, the culture that was there, we're moving away from this. We can discuss whether that's fortunate or unfortunate. But the culture was, and Islam approved of this, where a father would be allowing her daughter to get married or not to get married. So a father is approached by a man who's faqir, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have the means to earn a living at that point when they're coming forward and they are asking for their daughter's hand. It says, إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Don't worry about that. God will provide for them. God will provide for them. Now, I'm debating with myself because I was shown the sign that I only have 10 minutes. I wanted to go over the following verse in that same surah that according to some is a reason to believe otherwise and to say, no, you are supposed to have a means of earning. But I'll skip that. I'll leave that for any questions that might be there. I want to go to some of the things, the points that I mentioned are very practical concepts, very important for us to understand in approaching the matter of marriage. And although I'm pretty sure this culture is not going to change overnight, I'm 100% sure, of course, I have hope that perhaps some of the parents will think about some of these teachings. And the youth will learn these now, and when they start having children and their children come of age, they don't do to their children what happened to them. Okay, we need to make this shift, this paradigm shift, back to what Islam teaches as opposed to the culture that is surrounding us. Regarding that now, some more abstract, in some ways, discussions that are very relevant. And it is very unfortunate that I have to discuss these topics, but when it's a must, it's a must. I'm afraid if we don't discuss these matters, what's going to happen is that in some later date, in a few years, in a matter of a few years, or the next decade or two, then our understanding of these concepts is going to be completely different than what we have today. The concept of marriage is being redefined in this day and age. This is one of the greatest injustices of the late 20th century, and the 21st century. Marriage is being redefined in many ways. One, for example, is how the bond between a male and a female that throughout history has had a certain ceremony. Every people, according to hadith as well, we have this. And if you study history, you'll see this as well. Every people have had a ceremony of some sort that celebrates this bond. They have a formality that if you have that formality, the bond between the male and the female would be referred to as marriage. And if a male and a female have contact with one another without that formality, that would not be referred to as marriage. There's a difference between the two. But now, you have the concept of common law marriages. You have partnerships that are being referred to as marriages in certain contexts, to say the least. I can't claim that I've seen all of that legally, if they are being considered marriage or not. I would have to hear that from the lawyers that are in and amongst the audience. But we are seeing that in society, on the media, the word marriage is used to refer to that. This isn't as bad as the next redefining that has occurred, unfortunately. And we saw the legislation of that last Ramadan, unfortunately. I don't know if it was the barakah of the month of Ramadan that brought this about, or what happened, that the Supreme Court ruled that the marriage, they call it marriage, they have defined the bond between two members of the same gender, two males, two females, is being considered marriage now in this country. This is redefining the concept of marriage. This is one of the injustices. For some of you that, alhamdulillah, your minds and hearts are a little more clear of the evils and the filth of this concept, you might be thinking, you know, why the heck are we discussing this matter here? And why do we need to get into the details of this and mention verses, as I will, inshallah? Isn't it clear? Well, it might sound clear to you, but I have come across community members. I don't know if you guys remember that. I was in Dallas when that occurred. And I was hearing from people, I hope it didn't happen in your communities, but there were Muslim Shia youth that made the background of their profile pictures of the rainbow. Okay. When it was legislated. Okay. And then when some, you know, because it might have seen, if I would have been told this, I would have probably thought it's a joke. So then when I would talk to that brother, I know you're trying to joke, but I don't think it's appropriate, because you are, at some capacity, approving of this and accepting of it. So don't do that. But the problem was, when this point was raised, those youth didn't say, well, okay, this was a bad joke. They said, no, we're pretty serious about this. People should have the right to do this. Even if Islamically we are not allowed to do it, that is at least, if not the 10th step in the wrong direction, it's at least the first step in the wrong direction. We are going to be affected by this. We've got to look at the definition of these words. But before that, let me emphasize this concept. Sometimes we might think that, well, words can have various definitions, and definitions can evolve. The problem is, a word isn't, for example, marriage, the spelling of it, look at that, you know, the spelling of that, or the pronunciation of it. It's not about that pronunciation, because you use that pronoun. You say marriage to someone who's in some village in Central Asia, they don't know the English language, they'll be confused about what you're talking about. It's not about what you pronounce. It's not about the spelling of that. It's about a concept. These concepts have got to be based on a reality in objective reality. And if the concept that we have formed, we change it from reflecting something of objective reality to an illusion, then we are moving in a very, very dangerous direction. I'll give you a verse of the Holy Quran as a warning. God says, with regards to the Jews in many of the verses of the Holy Quran, I have selected verse 13 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً But on account of their breaking their covenant, we cursed them and made their hearts hard. What was the breaking of the covenant? يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَن مَوَاضِعِهِ The translation, they altered the words from their places. The word was supposed to be referring to a particular concept. You change that concept, you have changed the direction of humanity. This is very, very dangerous. Redefining a concept in a way that, instead of it reflecting a reality, We have made it inclusive of a batil, a non-reality. Well, this becomes very dangerous. In order for us to firmly understand that Islam does not leave room for this whatsoever, this bond between two males or two females, I will go back to the first two verses that I recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. The reason why we stressed on the word زوج was because of this. Zawj means, the reason why I said, well, the translation reads mate, but I want to use the word pair, okay, is because of this. I'll use an analogy for us to understand this. A pair of scissors is two metal pieces, at least the blade is metal of some form, usually, except for the children's plastic versions. Two similar parts, but different. Those two parts need to come together in order for them to be able to cut paper. You need to have the pair together for it to function. If you have one side of that scissors, a pair of scissors, you bring two parts that are exactly the same. They will not have the function of cutting paper. You need to have one that will be the left foot and the other one will be the right foot of that, if that's the word we'll use for it. When you look at shoes, these are very basic examples. You have a pair of shoes. If you have 10 shoes that are not pairs, they're all for the right foot, will they serve the function that they are supposed to serve? Would you call them a pair? Well, you wouldn't call them a pair. It's the right foot only. There's 10 of them. You can group them up in 2 or 4 or 10 or whatever, but it's not a pair. A pair of shoes is where you have the right foot and the left foot. Each of them serves a function in that context where you have a pair. You need a pair of shoes to serve that function. You need a pair of scissors. Zawj refers to two members of the human race that compared to one another are a pair, meaning one has certain features that the other doesn't, and the other has certain features that this one doesn't, but both share certain features. That's in common between anything that you would compare or you would consider as a pair. Scissors are the same substance, two of them coming together and being screwed together. It's the same substance, it looks very similar. The blade is a blade, but the style of it is a little different. This one is shaped in this way, the other one is shaped in a slightly different way. The pairs within the human race, they're both human, but one has certain features, the other one doesn't. In their creation, they are such. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. There's an existential reality of marriage that is a bond between males and females. That this legislation with a certain formula creates that bond. It's not haphazard. It's not all over the place. It's not, God forbid, I don't know when in the future we're going to start introducing, or they're going to start introducing a bond between a human being and a non-human being, and now call that a marriage as well. I have heard that even that discussion exists in Scandinavia. I hope I am wronged. I hope that information is incorrect. But I have been told, in Denmark specifically, there is that discussion. No, we don't redefine these words based on our desires and our whims. There are realities behind these concepts. Zawj has a reality behind it. Ziwaj Nikah has a reality behind it, and marriage, the English word, is supposed to be reflective of that. We've got to make sure we don't allow society, allow the media, to cause us to develop that or their definition of these words. This is going to be very dangerous. I hope we're able to do that with regards to marriage and with regards to many other concepts that are out here and we need to discuss, and I hope they have been discussed and will be discussed in similar conferences, inshallah. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.